time for silent reflection. What is the closest relationship I have with Baba? Which relationship is easiest for me to experience, and why? Go deeply into your favorite relationship with Baba. It's a time for silence so that we can go deeply into the experience of fulfilling all relationships with Baba in these few hours. Shanti. So this is the love that we've been looking for so many births. So the topic today is fulfilling the relationships, all relationships with Baba. In Hindi, the word relationship is sambandh. But Baba says now most relationships have become bandhan, a bondage. And so for many births, we've been experiencing sorrow in most relationships, whether it's with a mother, a father, a friend. And as a result, our trust has been broken. And this is a very big area that we probably need to work on so that we can really trust Baba, really have full faith that Baba is altruistic, that Baba does not need anything, and so I really can have all relationships and surrender completely. And just in terms of human relationships, one time I was on a bus with Dadiji, Dadi Prakashmani. Are you okay with translation? So I was on the bus and I said to Daddy, actually, in my experience, you can't really trust anyone. Because even your best friend sometimes will say something or let you down. And yet I didn't feel comfortable to have that feeling because I feel I am a trusting person. And so it didn't seem right to say I don't trust anyone because I do. And Daddy's answer was so wise, and I think it's been the best advice in handling all relationships, including the relationship with myself. We were in the bus and she said, we can trust almost everyone, 95%. Like this driver, we trust that he will get us to our destination. But 5%, we should take a little bit of care because maybe he needs a rest, maybe he needs to stop for a cup of tea. We don't know his circumstances. So it's almost like we still need to give some cooperation. And Baba has said that relationships are for cooperation. So I think the mistake we make is to be so absolute with human beings. We can't trust anyone 100% because no one is perfect. In fact, I would not want anyone to trust me 100%. Would you? It puts a lot of kind of pressure on me because I'm not perfect. Maybe around 95% could be, you know, okay, but not 100%. And I found that applying that advice in relationships has made a lot of difference because even one time a very close sister, I heard that she said something negative about me. And I thought, that's okay. She's allowed 5%. I don't mind. And I hope she gives me 5% because I might do that sometime. So this 95% rule certainly helps in relationships with human beings. But when it comes to Baba, Baba is perfect. So we can trust Baba 100%. And to experience all relationships with Baba, it's good to think about those relationships in the sense of what a perfect mother would be like, what a perfect father would be like, a perfect teacher. So often we can't experience a relationship with Baba because we're still carrying the impressions of the sorrow that we've taken from different relationships. And so it takes time to really trust Baba. But also this topic of fulfillment, because Baba says that the proof of love is to become equal. So to fulfill the relationship is not just to experience that love from Baba, but to meet Baba on an equal level. And if you think about it, relationships can only be very close and very special when we are equal. You think about friends, you think about, you know, a teacher and a student, equal, meaning that we're both fulfilling the relationship. We're giving the response of the love. And so, you know, there is this deep yearning in the soul to give ourselves completely, to surrender completely, to sacrifice completely. It's something very innate in us. And in fact, it's interesting to think of the word sacrifice. It sounds like a, you know, some people says it sounds like a very hard thing, like we're going to suffer. But it must come from the word sacred. So to really make something very sacred, very special, very divine and pure. So that sacrifice to really become one with Baba. I know that we don't become, you know, Baba's not omnipresent and not everywhere and in everything, but actually when we have that deep love, we do experience Baba to be everywhere and in everything. And one time in a personal meeting with Baba, Baba said to me, "Wherever you look, you only see Baba. Baba's merged in your eyes." And so somebody said to Baba, "Oh, so Baba is omnipresent." And Baba responded, "Yes, for Brahmins at the confluence age, Baba is omnipresent." And I liked this very much because I like the feeling of Baba being ever-present. So actually that idea of him being there all the time and being merged in our vision, in our heart, as Baba said in this Muli, that's where Baba lives, in our heart. So Baba is always ever present for us if we're remembering Baba. So to have all these relationships with Baba, we really need to recognize him. And one very beautiful definition of love is recognition. So when we love, really love, then it means that we've really recognized Baba. And Baba always tells us, "Few recognize me as I am and what I am." And that's a very good thing, because if we think we already know Baba, then that relationship becomes very stale. It becomes very dry. It becomes boring. In fact, they say that's why most marriages don't keep the spark, because after a few years, people feel that they know each other. But actually, you can't know another soul just like that either. If we keep the interest even to know each other, we will keep loving each other. But with Baba, I have experienced over all these years falling in love over and over again, when I recognize a different aspect of Baba. You know, sometimes you'll realize something about Baba that you haven't kind of thought about before, and it's as if there's a feeling of falling in love. And that's really the feeling Baba wants us to have of being a lover with our beloved. Because if you're in love, then you can't forget that person. So if we keep this interest, this real interest to experience and to have new feelings with Baba and get new insights into that personality. And Baba is a personality, a very, very beautiful personality. And in, you know, the Moolis, we get to experience and hear directly Baba's words and see what a beautiful personality Baba is. And just to share a few things that I've heard that were very beautiful. We used to, as you know, have personal meetings with Baba. And one time he said to someone, I was just listening, he said, "This is a private meeting in public." Because when people were meeting Baba, everyone was listening, but actually no one knew what was going inside your head. So even though everyone heard, no one could know the significance of it because they didn't know the connection of Baba's words with your feelings. And Baba said, "This is a private meeting in public because lovers always like to meet behind the curtain, don't they?" And it was so romantic. And so Baba, you know, shows all these different facets of being, you know, light and humorous and like a friend, of being a beloved, of being our father, being our mother. And so to experience all those relationships actually for us won't just fill our heart with all these beautiful feelings, but it will heal our heart because our heart's been, you know, damaged and broken by so many relationships. It's not human beings' fault, it's in the drama, but also every human being is needy. So intentionally and often unintentionally, we hurt each other just because we have needs. Like a mother, sometimes I feel like a mother coming to Raj Yoga. You know, you see her at the center all the time and you think, shouldn't she be home with the children a little bit more? But in actual fact, she probably needs to fill up, otherwise she can't be a good mother. So there's often these conflicting kind of responsibilities, the responsibility to ourselves, to Baba, but also to our families. And so usually mothers can't give a child what they really need. Fathers can't give a child what they need. Teachers, you know, often don't live up to our expectations. So it's only, you know, by having this relationship with Baba that we can really fulfill all that we need, because there's one very beautiful description of Baba, and that is that Baba is altruistic, which means that Baba doesn't need anything from us. And that's why we can trust Baba 100%, because he doesn't need anything. Baba is complete, ever complete, ever full. And so only in that relationship, you know, we can really get fulfilled. But of course there's other interesting relationships also. And one is Dharam Raj, and recently Daddy Janki was sharing her experiences of spending 40 days in Madhuban so that she could have that experience with Dharam Raj. And actually the meaning of this word, usually it's translated as the supreme judge, which I don't think it's that easy to get close to the supreme judge, especially if you're from a Christian background and often brought up with the idea that God is sitting up there with a book writing down all your mistakes, and at the end he's going to punish you, and you know, all of these kind of ideas that we got fed with. But if you think about the word, it comes from dharma, which means righteousness. Da means to uphold. So to uphold one's righteous way of being. And king, Raj. So Baba is the king of righteousness. And what we experience when we come in front of Baba as Dharamraj is perfection. We come in front of purity, peace, love. And there was an article in one of the World Renewals, and it was talking about the experience of someone who had a near-death experience. And he said, he was from a Christian background, he said he came in front of this Christ-like being, he described. He said it was a Christ-like being who was totally loving, but that being could see everything of his past. And he said he was trying to impress, you know, this being by saying, well, you know, I was the head of the Boy Scouts, and, you know, he was trying to impress this being, but he said it didn't do much. Any of these things didn't do much. And he described how the more that being loved him, the worse he felt. You know? So that's Dharamraj, because we experience that fullness and that completeness, but we feel a little bit unworthy, a little bit guilty. You know, there's those things that are still with us from the past. And so, actually one of my favorite relationships with Baba is Dharamraj, in the sense that I want Baba to be Dharamraj for me now, so that I don't get any surprises at the end. I want to know if I'm doing the right thing or not. You know, I want Baba to give me that look, as he does. You know, when we go to Baba's room, he'll often give a look if we've made a little bit of a mistake. And I always say, yeah, yeah, give me more of that, because I want to be very clear in front of Baba at that final moment. I want to be able to come to Baba when I leave this body and say, hi, I'm here, I've come back to you. And to me, that experience of that final moment of leaving the body and going to Baba should be, and I imagine it to be, the ultimate of all that we can experience, because it's just that feeling of then completely going to Baba. But of course, we won't get that experience if there's some, you know, feelings of the past. And so, you know, to really be serious also, in a sense, about yoga and burning away all that past karma. Because one time we had a session with Sister Janti, and she was asking about 50 people on a retreat, mostly Brahmins, yeah, they were all Brahmins, and she was asking why we have yoga. And people were saying to become happy, to become light, to become free, to experience love. So many answers. But interestingly, not one person said to burn away the sins, you know, to really burn away that past karma. And yet every day in the Muli, Baba tells us that we need to do that. You know, that there's this burden that we're carrying. And so we need to be able to have such quality yoga that it really is at that level of what Baba's been calling the volcano, or, you know, we could call it even the seed stage, where we go back to like the zero, but really getting to that stage of yoga where it's making a difference, not just kind of, you know, nice, peace, kind of relaxed, not that kind of yoga, but really where we're in the state of I am, or in the state of the essence of who we are. Because it's only, you know, real yoga, it's only accurate yoga that will purify us. And only if we have that purification also can we experience that equality with Baba. And so if we're, I think, serious about this relationship, then I think we need to be serious about becoming equal. Because if the proof of love is to become equal, then is it really love if I don't have that aim and if I'm not making those efforts? Because it's very easy to say I love Baba. No, very easy. In fact, they did a survey internationally to see which countries in the world had the most faith in God. Can you imagine which one? Which country, belief, the word was belief, which country in the world do you think came top of this list, believing in God? The USA. Can you imagine? I mean, no offense to those from the USA, but it certainly, I think, doesn't, you know, really come to mind. And the place where they had the least belief in God, this survey was like, I think, 1982 or something like that, was Japan. But interestingly, I was living in Japan for a few months. You could leave the door open. Deliveries, they used to open the door and put it inside. There was so much kind of honesty and integrity. You could walk down back streets without even thinking that anything would happen to you. And so you can see why people kind of have lost faith in religion. People believing in God don't necessarily have better dharana than those who don't. So it's lost its meaning, the whole thing of belief. But when it comes to really loving and becoming equal, now that would be an interesting survey, you know. In fact, I when I was in Spain, and I thought it was interesting to do it there because nearly everyone loves God in Spain. Anyone here from Spain? But they really have that love for God. So I asked, you know, in each of the sessions, I used to ask people to just go into silence and to ask themselves whether God wants you to worship him or to become equal. And this was a, you know, mostly a Catholic country, and usually, you know, it's worship. But interestingly, when people went into the experience, went into their own kind of, and I said to them, don't think about it, but ask God. Ask God, do you want me to worship you, or do you want me to become equal to you? And 99% said to become equal, which actually doesn't fit with, you know, that kind of faith system. It's not what's taught in Christianity. But when we, you know, have that direct connection and really talk to Baba, then we get a different response. And I think that's another very good way to have yoga, to actually ask Baba questions. Because sometimes we're just caught in our own thinking, which is limited to our own cultural background. But when we ask Baba something, then it comes from him. You know, like you can ask Baba a question like, why do I have to go through the cycle? Why can't I stay up there with you and be always perfect? Have you ever asked Baba that? Ask him. It's a very interesting experience and dialogue to have with Baba. So to think of, you know, questions to ask Baba, and that's a way of getting to know Baba and getting to go deeper or into some very beautiful churnings and experiences. So being able to have a dialogue with Baba. But then also when we have that dialogue, we can also position Baba in a particular relationship when we have that dialogue with Baba. But of course, all these relationships in a way are a little bit of a projection, because where Baba is and in his space, you know, there's no such thing as, you know, mothers, fathers, friends, guides. But we are in a human body, and we're living in a human world, and this study is to help us as souls to have a good human experience. That's what we're trying to do, because we are souls living in a human world. And so Baba can really help us with that journey of our human experience if we connect more. So for the next hour, we will be doing kind of a yoga experimentation of going through some of these relationships and, experiencing rather than just listening.